violence already.
Yeah, we knew you were coming.
Hey, Rox. Hey.
Yes.
It's bat night.
Is it? Yay. I've got a cricket bat downstairs. I'll go.
Scott's here. It's fruit bat night.
Of course. Oh, jeez.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camp. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Wind of the promoter took the lunatics for a ride, and a little voice inside my head said, Rosemary, baby, I got the time. Suffering madness and the Pharaoh's plague. I cannot tell you some other day. No, thank you. That's enough for me. A little bit of riddle in goes a long way. Ready to rock if you wanna roll. Please step away from the vehicle. Ragnarok, a revolution is. Give me just a minute while I clarify. Cool down my temper. I try to remember what it was I wasn't to lose.
Yay.
Yay. All right. So, hello, everyone. Welcome to another NeedCoffee.com podcast. Yet another NeedCoffee.com podcast. Aren't you excited? We fucking are. It's the Weekend Justice.
And we're here Electrified.
Justice with the Weekend Justice League. And first, we'll start with the snapper car of the Weekend Justice League, Ken Plume. Hi, Ken.
Not going to dignify that.
Good. Then we have Doc Ezra, our Minister of Literature, Keeper of the Foo. Hi, Doc.
Evening.
Howdy. Tuffley, our current Minister of Music in Residence. How are you, sir?
Very well, sir. Good evening.
Oh, good, good, good. We have Kim, who is given her new title, the Minister of Simulated Mayhem.
Very hello. Nice.
Yes, hello, Kim.
I don't think that was a title we gave her, but go on.
That is her official title. Other titles can come and go as they please.
We had a discussion offline about that.
Oh, did we?
Who's
well,
we?
I thought you did.
Oh, yeah. Well, somewhat.
What?
I cannot take any responsibility for other titles assigned to Kim by others.
What are you talking about?
What?
We're talking about other titles that Kim may have acquired in her vast and glorious career of not just, you know, drowning Sims.
Oh.
It is vast and glorious. I'm glad you appreciate that.
Of course.
We have your bringer of death.
Still the best part, though.
We also have Rox of Spaz House, our artist in residence. Hi, Rox.
Death or tits.
Is that a choice?
It's a choice with Kim.
Oh, for Kim. Just for Kim. Okay.
So, Rox, so much
is that
for
like
your...
Pick or death?
I don't know
your
where
off
these
podcast discussion, huh?
I don't know where these rumors get started.
Rumors.
Allegedly.
That was the Mac album.
Oh my
well, you
god.
Know, you know how many new listeners we've alienated? Just because they didn't know that Rox asked Kim for boobs last week.
Boob jobs in the Matrix next on Oprah. We also have Scott C, our Minister of Naughty Bits. Hi, Scott.
I can't follow that.
I think he needs to lose that title. It's fast being acquired by Rox.
Thunderdome. Send him into the Thunderdome.
Auntie Entity. Play something toughly. Something tragic. we have manning the boards. It's John of the Unique Geek. Howdy, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's all right. Okay, so here we are.
Here we are again.
Rock on, John.
What's that? Oh, yes. Well, John does rock on. Oh.
He's solid. Solid as a rock.
Where oh, really? Is Serve?
Scott's again. Oh, where
Scott,
is service
in danger?
I think Scott's lost it.
I never had it.
That is so true.
Wow, I was actually going to try and mitigate that, but Scott, thank you for throwing yourself on that sword. So
maybe he's trying to regain his title.
I was about to say that's no euphemism involved there. It's an actual sword.
Well, try something once.
What? What?
Was that what started it, Scott? This.
It would end it, yeah.
With a bare bodkin.
Okay, Scott, you rolled an 8. There's no saving
on that. NC-17 Eeyore.
Which I don't think we want to see his bare bodkin.
Thanks
Seconded.
For noticing
Motion
me.
Carried.
Bare bodkin. Didn't
really, folks,
with Mr.
it's
Thomas?
Only weekly. It's not with video.
I seriously don't have enough room for this.
What's that, John?
I said I seriously don't have enough room for this.
I will bet you Doc
prior
has
planning, John.
Doc is all stocked up.
Fully stocked cabinet.
This is the true intervention that's happening this evening, is John did not plan his drinking well enough for this podcast. The weekly schedule has taken him off guard.
In week one.
He saves his drink for family time.
Do we need to do this like 52 where we count it backwards?
Oh, God, no.
Huh?
Okay.
No, if we do it backwards, then it'll sound like we've done a bunch. So
and
I
you turn Scott on.
Go with that.
What? Nothing. How do we go from 52 to someone needing to turn Scott on? Or is this another C-3PO joke?
John.
I'm so confused. Oh, my God. And speaking of 52, I would advise you, as I've already advised Doc, I know I had said that there were three conditions under which I would actually buy Green Lantern Blackest Night.
No.
Yeah, none of them have been met.
Okay.
Yet.
Hooray.
Is one of the conditions it doesn't suck?
No, I had given up on that. I believe the first condition was if they brought back Grant Morrison, since he is considered to be dead in continuity in the DCU as a Black Lantern, then I think that would be pretty cool.
He was just dead as a writer worth following.
Well, both, actually.
Wait, is this the comic book where the guy is, like, humping Bruce Wayne's tombstone on the cover?
Exactly.
I saw that in the store, and I found it extremely disturbing.
Yeah, which Robin is that?
Well, that's really disturbing.
Could be any of them, really.
Especially, Kim, when you consider that the, like, catchphrase for the series is "Rise," so...
Ah! Huh.
So,
did they bring back the dead Robin as one of them?
Dead Robin's been back, hasn't he?
Yeah.
They brought Jason Todd back. He's a villain.
Oddly enough, he's calling himself Bucky.
I was kind of hoping for Crowbar, but...
he just calls himself the Crow for sure.
Is that a sad geek point for Doc?
I don't know. I didn't catch the reference, so I need
how he was killed.
Yeah. Oh yes,
yes.
I got you, Doc.
All right. Sad geek point and a demerit for me.
Somebody can keep up with my early '90s comic references, since they're about as current as I get.
Oh, that's late '80s, isn't it?
That's mid '80s.
Yeah,
you're older than you think, Doc.
It's somewhere around the time I stopped giving a shit about DC comics.
Oh, late 70s.
No, that's
now, there was
me.
A Ghost Rider run in there somewhere, actually. Or not, that's the wrong...
Ghost Rider was Marvel.
Yeah,
I gave up on DC around the time there. Ghost Rider.
Hey, Wedge,
yeah.
I think we need to add a condition. In addition to Jean Grey coming back, we have to have Ghost Rider appearing in the DC universe.
Yeah, if Ghost Rider comes back as a Black Lantern, I will buy... Blackest Night.
In a World War II tank.
By the big flaming-headed skull Firestorm guy, but couldn't imagine my disappointment.
That was in migraine ad.
My head's on fire.
I thought they'd bring one of the Firestorms back as one of the Black Lanterns.
I think they did.
They
did
probably
that.
Did. They brought back a rotting Sue and Ralph Dibny. So, yeah, it's nice. So
a
all I can
rotting
say is
Martian Manhunter.
Yeah,
I didn't even know he was dead.
Yeah, they killed him just to do this because, you know, they had that kind of time.
So
Manhunter is such a draw.
Yeah.
Well,
I also heard they're going to be bringing back Jonathan Kent as well. That's going to be fucked up.
Which you've actually bought comics more recently. I have. What kind of ads are in comics nowadays?
Mostly house ads.
Yeah.
Ads and what, Cialis?
No. There's ads for other comic books.
Yeah.
Communities in Florida.
There's not a lot of video game. There's still video game ads.
So you mean tell me there's not like a bubblegum ad anymore?
No.
No.
Or no Hostess. No, no, you know, X-ray eyeglass ads.
Oh God, Doc, I remember those ads. Wow.
No Sea Monkey ads. That's how far back I'm going.
No Charles Atlas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I would actually buy. We need that. We need Ultimate Hostess, and put all the Hostess ads into one volume, supersized, with an introduction by Neil Gaiman. And I would probably buy that.
No, and a finely researched piece by Peter Sanderson.
Like the cupcakes.
Yeah, the fruit pies, Kim. There was
only if they have the ultimate Kool-Aid Man to accompany it.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
Ultimate Kool-Aid Man, the new edgy young Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah, where he beats up on the kids instead. Drink your Kool-Aid.
So wait, they're stepping on the flying punch
territory. It's just a dead bank robber floating in his giant tank.
And he gives the kids cancer.
Oh yeah.
Oh wait, Wedge.
Yeah.
That made me think. Another condition on Blackest Night.
Yes.
Resurrection of the Atari Force.
Oh ho, ho, ho. Yes.
I just want to see a rotting Captain Carrot.
Oh, lay off the Zoo Crew.
You ever think you'd say that out loud in public? Hey man, lay off the Zoo Crew.
Leave me alone. Comic convention. I enjoyed that series. Fuck you.
Calm down. Back off.
Fuck you.
God, who knew
now
Zoo Crew
sounded like a 12-year-old girl?
Yeah, and Scott should know.
Ow.
Look here, I am all man.
And you say that?
Yeah, when I say it like that, it really doesn't help, does it?
Anybody want to take
God
that one?
God damn it.
Dan, you had to fuck that up. I was just going to let the entire minute of silence ride out following that statement.
Yeah, I was right there with you, Doc.
I fucked up everything.
Oh. That is fantastic.
Oh, and we're weekly.
See, what's good, Doc, is that in post, Wedge can reinsert the silence.
Yeah, like we edit.
Maybe some crickets chirping.
Oh, no. What, the weekly Weekend Justice now with editing?
It's better.
We had to give them
that
some reason to listen.
Point.
Madness.
It's also 5 minutes long.
I can't believe it's almost coherent.
Oh, no. I wouldn't go making promises like that.
Yeah.
And spreadable.
Don't set the bar too high, Tuffy.
Oh, careful saying spreadable on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a pair of them to worry about.
So does Rox.
Speaking of which, where is Service?
I don't know. He was what? He went on some plane trip with his sister, and they were supposed to have left, Jacksonville. I guess they went up north. Then they came back from some family reunion, and he gave me a message that he might stop by, Sunday or Monday. Oh, so either way, wouldn't be here.
Is anyone else picturing Rox from the Sim House? Thinking of a police car.
tell me, Rox. Tell us all.
I was thinking more about the handcuffs.
Rox, does Service put the lotion in the basket?
No.
Oh, that's a euphemism.
Did he get the hose again?
The service of the lambs.
All I can see is Service desperately trying to breathe and keep his head above pudding.
It's a shallow pool of pudding.
Is that what you said when you pushed him into the pit?
It's shallow. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you only need 6 inches to drown.
This is true.
It's a good thing you didn't say choke.
No, you need more than that.
Maybe.
Wow.
Obviously, that was a bored night for you, Scott.
Hey Tuffley?
No,
hey,
it's
Tuffley.
Actually pretty interesting.
Hey, Tuffley?
Yeah.
Hey, Tuffley, we're weekly.
That is fucking awesome.
Seriously, who did anybody actually ask for us to be weekly?
Yes.
Like, send us an email. Who?
Yes.
Who is responsible for this? Mattered?
Well, that girl is, whatever her name is.
Mallory?
That girl.
You said it. You said it, not me.
I think she
what do you think? She's like Beetlejuice?
Mallory.
Now, she's like an attention whore, and she loves to be mentioned, and I just didn't.
And she's thrilled right now.
I know. She's probably squeeing with delight.
Oh, and I'm sure she...
A girl squee, but, you know. Yes, Mallory, I made you squee.
That's terrifying.
Now, Doc, you just ruined that by not leaving the silence there.
I know, but...
Form of bleach!
I'm shocked and appalled.
And throwback.
Okay, but seriously, who asked for us to be weekly? I'm curious.
I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to divulge that information.
Yes, Scott. It's a surprise. Scott, do you really have anything to do on these nights, really?
Any night, really?
Any night at all.
Lonely nights.
When you're trying to find out how much it takes to choke.
So, Widge, that book that Tim Yu is reading in those pictures Rox posted, did I tell you what it was called?
No, what
so
is it?
Weird. It is called Zombies? Zombies! And I did not give it to Sim Widge to read. He actually went and got it out of the bookshelf himself, and he carries it around to read in his spare time. Ooh. I thought that was oddly apropos.
Widge, what do you do when you sleep?
Okay. Yeah.
You enter the Sim house?
Okay, for our listeners who didn't see the post on Twitter, you can see the Sim house on www.spazhouse.blogspot.com.
I don't think you need the www in front. I think it's just spazhouse.
I know. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Spazhouse.blogspot.com.
In fact, I don't think they can get there by going the way you just said. Here's a question for
those
you,
are for
Kim.
Yes?
The Sims that you're playing is a relatively new game, right?
Yes. No.
Sims 3 came out this summer.
Tell me, why are all the computers have CRT monitors?
The more expensive ones actually don't, but the basic level ones do.
Cheese monitor.
You can't even get CRT monitors.
No.
Even if they were in the real world and had no money, they still couldn't buy those.
Maybe they bought them secondhand.
So, Kim, you couldn't even outfit us with, like, cool gear? We've got, like, Goodwill computers in the Sim house?
Yeah.
Widge,
well, none of you had jobs when I was building the house.
Widge, she put a roof over your head. Be happy.
Are we living in some kind of Habitat for Humanity house?
Kind of. You should see your computer, okay. Kim.
Hold on. I think we're missing the point here. Have you
There's
found
a point?
The point is we got rid of Scott
in
the Sim world.
Kim, you want to take that
one? Was the point. Also,
do you really want to know?
Widge and I had...
Wait, you found me?
Do you really want to hear about this?
Scott,
I do.
Yes.
Scott,
people can call you. You have not been utterly missing. Did you not... Weren't you here for the last
episode? No, I heard that, but she didn't know where I was. I mean, I would show up, but where did I come from?
Wait, maybe it's like The Fugitive. Maybe we can keep this going for like 2 years.
We've been wondering for years where you came from, Scott.
Not as often as we wonder where he's going.
Or why he hasn't gone yet.
So wait, so what happened, Kim? Or did something change?
One night, all of the members of the Weekend Justice House were asleep, and I heard a splashing in the backyard, so I went to look what was going on. And Scott was swimming in the pool all by himself at like 4 in the morning. Okay. But he still was not like a member of the household. He was just kind of there. So I wondered if maybe he was about to rejoin or something was going to happen. So I just watched for a while. But he swam for a while and then he started to get sleepy. And I was worried because I didn't want to fall asleep in the pool. But he got out and just kind of wandered around the yard for a while. And then...
That sounds more like you by the second, Scott.
I know, the AI is amazing.
Wait.
Then the sun was rising and everybody started to get up. And I thought, well, I'll just have Rox go talk to him and see what's going on.
Talk like you're actually in this fucking house. I heard some splash and I thought I was going to
Let her finish.
So while everybody was kind of getting up and getting ready, I noticed that he seemed to be stuck in one place in the yard. He was just kind of standing there. And he kept complaining that he was tired and that he had to go to the bathroom. But he wouldn't move or walk around or do anything. He just seemed stuck.
So, Rox, did you nail him to the yard or something? Was Scott injured in a lawn darts accident?
I think it's Scott's just Scott.
Wow, yeah.
So, he kept complaining more and more, but I couldn't do anything about it because he wasn't a member of the household, so I couldn't control him. And I was worried that something glitchy was happening, but I didn't want to quit out in case it killed Sim Scott, which I would feel bad about.
Why?
So apparently all of his little motives were getting really low, and he was complaining a lot. And
again, and then, AI amazing.
And then he wet his pants.
Because he couldn't
find a toilet, apparently. He used to be stuck.
Your Sim kink is not okay.
Oh, Kim, that is such a horrible game.
Did you hit him over the head with a hammer to put him out of his misery?
No, because right after that, he passed out.
Did he die?
Was he in drunk? The puddle.
Oh, he slept in the puddle. Who programs this?
Scott, does that happen to you often?
No. So, I don't. Which?
Wait. This isn't over yet.
Oh, wait.
Oh, dear God.
It was because he was tired because he couldn't go to sleep anywhere. So Rox was going over to talk to him, but when he passed out, she just went and started painting.
Was she painting Scott? Is this like some kind of frat prank where you find somebody asleep and start marking on their face with a Sharpie or something?
No, she was painting a landscape over like in the backyard. And then Scott woke up again, but he didn't seem to be able to move, and he started complaining that he was really hungry. And I started to get very worried because I didn't want him to starve to death right there in the yard. So I made Ken go talk to him.
Oh, God.
That would help.
But this is where the story ends. But it put Ken in a really bad mood.
Again, AI amazing.
If the AI was good,
I wouldn't have gone.
He got a little negative mood called Plagued by Outdoors. Because he didn't want to go outside.
Hang on. Band name. Go on.
And then once he got close to Scott, he got another bad mood because Scott smelled like pee.
Oh, Jesus.
But then I told him to invite Scott inside, hoping that Scott would eat a sandwich or take a shower or something in the house and make himself better.
Hopefully not in that order.
So he went inside, and then he goes, okay, I have to go, bye-bye, and he left the house again. So apparently that unstuck him.
But he's now vanished into the ether again.
And now he vanished back into the ether from which he came.
Goodbye, little hobo!
So, Scott, your Sim is batshit insane.
So, Ken, theoretically, you saved Scott.
No.
Yes.
No, obviously, I prolonged a tortured existence. My work is done.
So wait a minute. So basically, Scott came over to the sim house, swam in our pool.
Just swam
in our
pool. Piss.
Swam in the pool, then pissed himself, bitched and moaned and left.
Yes.
Boy, that's like Dragon Con.
Yeah.
Wait, Ken.
Hey, at least he didn't pee in the pool.
Hang
okay.
on. In all fairness, Ken, that's not entirely accurate. I have never seen Scott swim.
I was speaking metaphorically.
Oh, okay.
By the way, Widge
Scott,
and
I tried to help.
Kim Widge and I were looking at the pictures from the house.
Yes.
And we were a bit concerned by the the sort of
by the what?
Looking at the picture of you and Tuffley on the couch.
Yes.
The
he's
sort of
cute.
The sort of Weekend at Bernie's aspect to how you're propped up.
We referred to it as Tuffley and the real girl.
You
have a very
that's wrong.
Well, you look at the picture, and
I'm
if you didn't know
right
who
now.
It was, it looks like someone has propped someone up beside Tuffley. Because your arms are limp, your neck is limp, hanging down, and you're slumped to its side.
You're
which
really worked
not,
up over this computer thing, aren't you?
Which is not as natural as how brilliantly it captured Widge's reading style.
I
know,
looks
isn't that
like
amazing?
I'm reading the book and it's Braille.
And his freakish, almost praying mantis-like posture.
The only thing that would have been worse is if I had been like crouched like Kurt Wagner of Nightcrawler does in the comics. I mean, I'm literally this close to doing that. It's fantastic.
And is there a reason why none of the bathrooms have walls?
They do have walls. It's just in cutaway view. So if you see there's a little, like you can see the baseboard, that's where the wall is, but it gives it a view so you can see all
so
the things.
So you watch everybody pee, essentially.
Well, no, it pixelates
why else
when
would
you're
you play?
Actually using
it. Only when they do it in the yard, God.
I have to watch you pee.
Kim, can't you unlock that?
Yeah, you can do it either way, but because of the camera angles, it's just like sitcom, you know, sets that don't have a front wall. With the camera angles, if you put the walls up, a lot of times the wall will get in your way and you won't be able to see what you're doing.
Oh, okay.
Like people urinating and
yeah.
Show.
Uh-huh.
I told you those are pixelated, unless somebody wets themselves in the front yard, in which case it's
and
just...
And there, they won't pixelate it. Wow.
That was why Scott went out, for the voyeuristic aspect of it.
Everyone watch me! You're gonna love this!
I am a golden god.
More like a golden shower.
I obviously didn't get the joke.
Your majesty is like a stream of bat's piss.
Actually, in The Sims, they color it blue.
So I don't see Doc in this house.
Wait.
What? No, I don't have a place in the house, Ken.
You can have Scott's
I was relegated
place.
To. Yeah, I was not considered significant enough a cast member.
That's right.
Hang on. Everyone in The Sims, Kim, basically is suffering from whatever it was that King George was mad with because we have blue piss.
Yeah.
Well,
that
what
would explain
happens,
Scott's behavior.
What happens is they kind of groan and double over, and then a little splashy sound noise is played and a puddle appears by their feet, and it's the same color as the puddle that's like when water is spilled, but then their bladder thing refills and they don't have to go to the bathroom anymore, so
their bladder
the inference is left to the reader.
Kim, they're not real.
What is this bladder thing?
They have a little indicator.
This
like they have
like
need indicator.
Lovecraftian monster ever.
All right.
The bladder thing.
Okay. In the life indicators, one of them is piss.
Yeah.
It's one of them is having to go to the bathroom. One of them is needing to eat.
What is the appeal of this game?
It's Dollhouse. It's just playing dolls, isn't it, Kim?
It is. It's like playing dolls, and you get to dress them up and make them little houses and give them little jobs. And
Kim, do you know what I used to do with my dolls?
This is a goddamn Twilight Zone episode.
They never kept heads.
If you're worried about instant, why don't you just, like, adopt? You could have them, you could dress them up however you want and traumatize
because
them.
You can't shut them off.
Just think, you could send your kids out to go piss in the yard.
We'll be just like your Uncle Scott someday.
Come, let me show you Uncle Scott. He's on the TV.
Oh my God.
See the one humping a bush?
At least it's not a tombstone.
Yeah.
I have my limits. Excuse me.
I don't think
we haven't found them yet.
Oh my God. Wow, that was the most traumatic Sims update ever. Thank you, Kim.
Oh, they just welcome. They just get better and better.
I can't wait until the zombie plague descends upon the Sim house.
So I think that'll have to be an expansion pack.
What will it take to upgrade the house to modern technology?
I could do that for you guys. I could use a cheat code to get you more expensive computers.
Thank you.
And Ken's computer is not supposed to be cheese. I think it's supposed to be SpongeBob.
It's cheese.
Yeah, sorry. It's cheese.
Well, either way, it is cheese. You see.
Yeah.
But I'll cheese. I'll get him a nice one. Would you rather have a desktop or a laptop?
It doesn't really matter. It's not real.
It's, you know, cheese
technology.
I changed
technology. Rox's shoes.
She
wanted the empty
shoes.
Room.
You changed Rox's shoe. She wanted boobs, too. Did you give her bigger boobs?
No. They're okay. I look. They're okay.
I can't believe that was a concern for you, Rox.
Those boobs are Rox approved.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. If they're too big...
Keep going.
Go ahead.
When you're playing golf or tennis, they do get in the way.
So Rox, you're concerned about your doppelganger in the Simverse being able to play golf comfortably.
Has the virtual Rox done either of those yet, Kim?
Wait, this is ESPN 2.
No. No, they don't have golf tennis yet, although I'm sure they'll come
they
up with
should.
It.
So did you hear, Rox? Your boobs can be as big as you want them to be. There's okay. No golf or tennis to get in the way.
And since Scott's left the house, there's even more room for them.
Yes.
Okay.
Your boobs can fill the empty slot in the house.
I did tell Kim I don't wear flip-flops. She had
so
flip-flops.
I changed it.
She did. That was
I found
nice.
You some Doc Martin-looking shoes.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
Because that's what you said you liked.
Yes. I do. Thank you. I don't wear flip-flops. I wear boat shoes, but I don't wear flip-flops. Because I don't like that thing in the middle of your toe.
It's not real!
I don't care!
You know what? Maybe the virtual you loves flip-flops.
Can give in to the madness.
Shut up. You're fucking out in the wilderness somewhere.
Pissing yourself.
I'm sure you have a toilet in the Netherlands.
Complaining. That's right.
Maybe it's like the homeless and they go to the public library.
No, I think you misunderstood what Scott was trying to do.
If we have an empty slot in the house, I say Doc has to be in the house before the next update.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Yay.
I'll have to find a cheat code so that I can reopen the edit screen, but I'm sure there is one.
Now,
sure there is.
Now, is the house fully stocked with alcohol? Because otherwise the virtual Doc is going to wander off, too.
I'll buy him a bar. I'll buy him a bar.
Okay.
Did you hear that, Doc?
Yes, I did.
I'm writing myself a note. It says,
he sounds so thrilled.
It says, put Doc in house with bar. Also upgrade computers.
I'd like to point out that I think...
What do your real life to-do list look like?
You don't want to know.
Mine looks surprisingly similar, actually.
Well, we look.
Buy a bar, upgrade computers.
Move myself into house with bar, upgrade computer. Yeah,
and find scope.
And burn flip flops.
No, seriously, I think we've misunderstood what Scott was trying to do in the yard. I think he was trying to piss and mark his territory like a wolf.
I don't think wolves complain that much first.
I don't know.
Not the right ones.
Maybe he was dealing with the gopher problem.
Yeah.
I was telling the gophers that that was my territory?
Yep.
Is that how you deal with the gopher problem? This is my yard.
Wait, I think we have title of the program.
This is my yard?
Oh,
no,
Scott.
No, is that how you deal with a gopher? Which, as a follow-up to Tits for All, I think really works.
Yes. How do you get rid of cats that are in your yard?
What?
Huh? How do you get rid of? I have two cats that like think my front yard is theirs, and it's not. And I have this hatred for them.
Well, you should send Scott to deal with them.
Okay, Scott.
I don't deal with pussy.
Scott will kiss and piss on your cats.
I don't deal with pussy.
They're not my cats. My neighbor's feeding these outdoor cats, and they've chased.
Well, Scott will piss on your neighbor.
Away.
So basically. You need to send a feral Scott to deal with the feral cats.
Okay. Scott?
Busy like, this weekend?
Yeah, this weekend. I want them gone. I hate them.
I think
that's
legal.
Scott's pest control.
I guess then officially you'll be rocks of piss house.
Yeah, I think dealing with it that way is legal in Florida.
Oh, piss boy.
Are you absolutely sure?
I thought that was Ken.
No, you're the one in the yard.
Yeah. Yeah. All I need you to do is, like, you know, do a territorial thing. That's all. Just a perimeter. That's all.
Yes, so what she wants you to do is make sure you rub up against everything in her yard.
Again! Illegal in Florida.
How do you know these things?
I don't know.
By the way, this is weekly.
Hey, you want to go? You want to go for daily, Tuffly? Keep pushing it.
What, the daily piss?
This is our answer to DC Comics Wednesday Comics.
It's comic book day somewhere.
It's comic book day somewhere.
Oh my god! I'm not even trying to recover from that.
Are we starting Weekend Justice yet?
I'm glad you asked, Ken. I was about to.
I did see something interesting, and since we have Doc online, who's our Minister of Literature, that website, IO9, had this little article, "Has sci-fi become too infected by fantasy?" What do you think?
Sippy.
This is about literature, science fiction. Has science fiction become
a spurious claim? They're just reading the wrong science fiction.
Okay.
I think they're full of shit. I think they're reading the wrong books. I think
it's always been literature that's going to, you know, have elements of both and elements of, you know, one or the other. As you said,
absolutely.
It's what you find.
Space opera and planetary romance are subgenres. They're still considered science fiction. So I think there's been a couple of big titles, big authors, I should say, that have sort of steered perhaps the popular perception that it's all a little fluffier than it used to be. The new Stevenson book, for example.
Stephanie Meyer.
Hey, there's still plenty of fairly hard sci-fi out there. Hell, anybody's read any of Scalzi's books lately?
What do you mean, Stephanie Meyer? Does anyone call the Twilight books science fiction?
I don't.
No, I mean, just in terms of just fantasy
things,
in general.
But sci-fi is not on the list.
No.
What the article is talking about, Scott, is let's take the Pern books. They started out as science fiction, then all of a sudden they sort of... I don't think anybody would even recognize it as science fiction anymore. I mean, it's pretty much almost pure fantasy, right?
Yeah, and it was... Honestly, it had dubious claim to sci-fi to begin with.
Right.
I mean, when your base assumption is people with a magical mental connection to dragons, you're not really in sci-fi territory.
Right.
I don't know what world you live in.
with Scalzi basically is the second coming of Robert Heinlein, I think we've got plenty of straight-up sci-fi out there. Strauss is still writing pretty straight science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Stevenson was originally, though he's kind of veered off now, but Stevenson can do whatever the fuck he wants to as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I like him.
Now, so your personal definition of science fiction, if someone were to go to you and say, define what a science fiction novel is, what are the boundaries? What are your personal boundaries for science fiction?
I don't think it could be easily delineated. I think it's got to deal with... I think at some level it really ought to deal with technology, but the level of that technology is kind of open for interpretation, because one of the things that's always, to my mind anyway, been part of science fiction is how humanity, though it's not always humans, I guess, how the characters of the book incorporate, cope with, deal with technology and what it does to them in terms of self-identity and that sort of thing. But you get that in...
Because there's certainly a segment of people who like to delineate these things who believe, well, there has to be some sort of basis in some sort of scientific reality.
Right.
I don't really get into that much. I don't really think the exercise is terribly useful to talk about drawing those sorts of boundaries, because as soon as you do...
No, but that's why you get stupid, you know, articles and assessments like the one that Rox was talking about.
Oh, sure. It's a slow newsweek.
As soon as you do, somebody just puts everything in that corner and it never leaves that corner.
Or you have an author who comes out with a book next year that's undeniably sci-fi and doesn't fit the mold at all.
Yeah.
The only thing I will say that might have been the impetus for the article, and I haven't read it, so I'm not sure, is that I tend to view the Hugo as a sci-fi award.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that's, you know, not the way to do it, but...
So how would you feel then with the Graveyard book?
Well, that was what I was getting to. If the Hugo was a sci-fi award, that sort of become meaningless. It can be a speculative fiction award all day long, but as much as I love that book, there's nothing even vaguely science fiction-y about it. So you can't really claim the Hugo is for the best sci-fi novel of the year anymore.
Now, what is the voting process or the selection process for the Hugo?
Is it a panel of
peers kind of thing, or is it...
That's the Nebula. The Nebula.
Yeah. The Hugo, you spend a membership, I believe. I'm probably wrong, but as far as I know, you get a membership so that you can, if you're going to attend WorldCon, you spend a ton of money, and when you go there, you can vote. I know Corey.
So your attendance membership gives you a vote. So what is the selection process then? Do we know what brings what books into the running? Who chooses?
I think they're nominated by peers, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, I think so. Or
the thing is, don't forget the Hugo is seen as the more popular people's choice than the Nebula.
Yeah, because Tolkien got a Hugo. Well,
that's because the Nebula is sort of like the Asperger's of awards.
I may be mixing up my awards and thinking more of the Nebula than the Hugo. So I know Gaiman was a little...
Surprised.
Surprised, and it seems to be of the opinion that Stevenson probably should have walked away with it, which, you know, I can't fault, but I think Gaiman's a humble guy. His book was an excellent book.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he can have any award he wants, because I don't really care how they divide up the categories.
I found the process here. I looked it up on Wikipedia real quick. It says, Hugo Award nominees and winners are chosen by members supporting or attending of the annual Worldcon, although only about 700 of several thousand Worldcon members actually vote. The selection process is defined in the World Science Fiction Society Constitution as instant runoff voting with five nominees, except in the case of a tie. Unusually, the nominees in each category include no award if a voter feels none of the other entries are worthy of recognition. If no award receives the most votes in a category, then none of the nominees receives an award. So you can actually vote none of the above. Wow.
God, we talk about a prickish little community.
Also, something else is they say on like the – I'm also looking at the same thing, and they say that the Hugo Awards are given each year to the best science fiction or fantasy works and achievement of the previous year.
Fair enough then.
Yeah.
I will say that one of the things that I've – and this happened the past few years is Scalzi has taken the responsibility on himself to distribute electronic packets to the voters containing the works that have been nominated. So that everybody gets a chance to read these things before voting on them.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And notably this year, because of, I guess, rights issues or some other thing, he was unable to include Stevenson's book.
Oh.
Which Galen points to and says, you know, if everybody had had it and, you know, in the packet and got to read it, I wouldn't have won. I'm not convinced that's true. But it's kind of a cool thing that Scalzi, before he was ever, you know, in the running for anybody's Hugos, he's been doing this for a few years, will sort of gather all this stuff up and send it out to the voters. So because he just thought everybody ought to read the things they were voting on.
Yeah.
And
of course, if he actually got the chance to do an electronic version of Anthem, he would have probably doubled the disc.
Oh, yeah. You've run out of space.
There was a post on, it may have been on Boing Boing or Nidorama, I'm not sure today. Somebody had uploaded photos of Stevenson's, because all of them, of course, prepare a speech. In case they're, you know, they're selected as the winners, though I think Gaiman was caught sort of unawares this time. Stevenson's potential acceptance speech was written entirely in the argot of that book.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord.
The entire speech was written in the language that the book uses. Though, interestingly, he didn't actually write it that way. He wrote it in English and a member of a fan community or something like that actually did the translation for him.
Oh, great. Another science fiction language for people to learn.
Well, perhaps it's best he didn't win. And
yeah,
we lost two people from the call.
Yeah, mine got dropped, and I think Kim got dropped.
Yeah, so Tuffley got dropped as well.
Oh. Somebody's building a cabinet.
Storms in their area.
I Hello? Think. There's nothing in my area.
Hi.
I heard a giant rushing wind, and then you were all gone.
I'm sorry, Rosh. Did you say there's nothing in your
and
area?
And now you're sucked into the sim world.
I'll teach you to hang out with those witches.
I bet you wish you had upgraded that technology now.
I want Kim in the games until she dies playing.
Or peeing.
Oh, that's pixelated, Scott, except for you.
That's how his looks, actually.
Oh, God.
He's got a huge career in Japanese porn, if that's the case.
His genitals are 8-bit.
Oh. Well, there ain't something, but never mind.
That's why his pickup line is, want to play Tetris?
Oh.
No, they don't bend that way. No, stop.
They just shouldn't have gone forward with that. I was fine to back away from the joke.
It's Wicked Justice. We don't.
Does it?
No.
It,
okay. I draw the line at blaming Wicked Justice for that.
Yeah. It's Wicked Justice is near Chinatown.
but it is weekly.
Can it be Chinatown long enough for me to smack somebody a couple of times?
Oh, sure.
Awesome.
Smackdown. Woo.
Doesn't take much insight to rocks. Threat of imminent violence is all it takes.
Yeah, audio violence.
By the way, that's a band name.
I think it would be big audio violence, like Big Audio Dynamite.
Yeah, I like that.
When was the last time you guys posted those things, anyway?
Yeah, we've been a little busy.
Yeah.
Big audio vibes. I love it. All right. I suppose,
know your transition voice.
Yep, that's my transition voice. Here all I am right. with my completely seamless segue.
I think
into an hour and a half of recommendations. So
hold on. I think we should make a point before we devolve into bitterness and recrimination of recommendation to talk about the fast approaching Dragon Con.
Oh, everybody man. Attend.
Yay, well, Dragon okay, Con.
We're done.
What would you like to say about Dragon Con?
Well, Dave? I think we should remind people of all the wonderful programming that's going to be there.
Guests and so forth?
The guests and the film fests and panels
and all the wonderful things
we want to make sure people are excited and going to attend.
Swag. Right?
Yes.
Well, we've got the film fest is Saturday night.
Woo!
And Ken, who is our musical guest this year?
Is Mr. Neil Innes of the Ruddles and Ponzo Dog and Monty Python fame.
How fucking cool is that?
Awesome cool.
Oh, very, very cool.
And then we've got the quiz show is happening again this year.
Oh, God.
And it's running longer, isn't it?
That's
longer,
right.
Bigger, stronger.
Two blocks of time.
Ooh.
So we've got a shitload.
Who's on the panel for the quiz show?
Of which somebody needs to hold a seat for me because I have a panel before that. So
I'll hold a seat for you, Rob.
Thanks. Thank you. I'm on the Sherlock Holmes panel, so I'll miss an
hour. I'm on Britpop.
Okay.
I think I'm doing that one, too.
So Kim, save three seats, I guess.
Well, you could save a seat for me, because, you know, I'm just happy to be married to you, you know.
Kim, I gave you dice, okay?
I can save a seat on either side of me.
Tuffly, she did save a seat. She just didn't save you a chair.
Anyway, yes, the quiz show is longer. Two blocks of time. Continue.
Two and a half hours.
Are we going to have fun with buzzers?
No, only you. In some other obscure part of the hotel.
Far away from public view.
Then what's the point? No, I'm talking about...
I don't know.
It's just going to be you, a car battery, some jumper cables, and some guy off the street.
Small Asian man named Hong.
And you know what? People will still think that's...
Well, why should I call you a speed racer?
Okay, stop. No, I do not need Ken. No, stop.
Witness my Mach 5.
So what? So are there at least... What, one panel of Make the Bad Men Stop? Explain that.
There are two panels of Make the Bad Men Stop. Oh. Do not be fooled. I don't know why every year somebody tries to change the name to something other than Make the Bad Men Stop, but it's Make the Bad Men Stop.
What is it called now?
Oh, God, I can't believe they did that to my favorite book or something. I don't know.
Something.
Who made the title?
There's probably a rule about having two with the same name.
I don't know.
Name.
It's always been that. Yeah, well, one's book, one's movie, isn't it?
Like we
theoretically
differentiate.
Make the Bad Men Stop, movie edition. Make the Bad Men Stop,
book edition.
No, before we used to have like
staying on topic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but no, I mean we used to have like the movie one. Then we had like the book club type thing. So maybe that's what they're getting confused.
The book club.
Yeah, we think it used to be called Read a Damn Book, you moron, or something like that.
Okay.
Yes, that was Doc and Aaron's panel.
And it was awesome.
Read a goddamn book.
What? No, when are these panels, Widge? When are those? Because I don't think I'm doing either of them.
No, because you're moderating something else. Let me see. I will tell you.
I think they're still up in the air to an extent.
No.
I think everyone's solidifying their schedules.
That's just what people tell you, Scott.
Yeah.
Technically, everything at Dragon Con is still up in the air, so.
What?
Well, everything's subject to change until
John,
it actually starts.
John, what smurf are you? You haven't given me that information.
What? Wait, what?
What?
Shh. Well, what kind of role playing are you in now?
It's a special club.
Obviously.
Special. Sean is Handy Smurf.
Too Handy wait, Smurf.
Isn't that Handsy Smurf?
I think more like John is Glitchy Smurf.
Oh, so God. It's a Smurf that's good at giving handies?
Oh, that was creepy. Yeah.
Oh, someone's getting a telephone call. Let's listen in.
I am. It's my mom, I'm sure.
Oh, you sound so happy.
Well, I won't answer it because I got reprimanded the last time.
All right, so service, could you?
Okay, how old are you, and you're still getting reprimanded by your mom?
No, I got reprimanded by you guys the last time I took a call.
Can't serve just answer it for you?
It is serve. He's calling from inside the house.
Just serve screaming a safe word into the phone.
Oh, come on. You know with rocks there's no safe word.
Garbanzo!
Butterscotch! Butterscotch! Butterscotch!
Safe words for amateurs.
I was about to say, yeah. You could just see rocks going, safe words are for
amateurs. Amateurs and survivors.
Jesus. All right, when are the panels again?
Welcome to True Crime on Bravo. Oh, Jesus. All right, so rocks, basically, Make the Bad Men Stop Part 1 is Friday at 2:30 p.m.
I'll be with Terry Gilliam, right?
I think that's right. And Part 2 is Monday at 2:30 p.m.
Oh, I won't make that.
Bracket your con with needcoffee.com.
Who in the hell goes to a 2:30 panel on Monday?
I know.
Nobody.
Well, us for one thing.
Who's us? I won't be there. And I'll be in town still.
I know I've got a flight. I think I got a flight at that time.
Hey,
so carry on.
I'll be there.
Ken, when is
good.
Your...
Good.
That's because you'll be locking up the room. What was that, John?
That's when the real fun happens.
Warning.
Oh, dear.
No, I went to one of those late in the day ones. And
I say we just call it a day and make the Monday panel the unique geek panel.
Yeah, no.
You guys want a panel?
No.
You might.
God damn.
What time is it? What time is the?
Be there by then.
Who?
Are Aaron and Brian?
What in the hell is happening?
Hold on. Let's let Tuffley talk.
Finish the sentence.
He did. Tuffley, go ahead and let people hear.
I was going to say, are Aaron and Brian still going to be there at the time?
Aaron will be coming in. Brian is not coming in this year.
Ah, okay.
Oh.
Was there a problem with the paperwork?
He's not allowed to travel.
Hmm.
Got himself on the no-fly list last year.
Yes.
Because he wasn't wearing a fly. Hey, that joke will just sit there for a while. Anyway,
Brian is the Irish terrorist, patio tato.
So when does the Gonzo Film Fest start?
The Gonzo Film Fest starts 10 o'clock on Saturday.
Well, 10 o'clock for people.
PM.
Staff starts a little earlier.
Yes, please.
And when are you doing your Snidecast panel, Ken?
Friday at
5:30.
Okay. Are you going to do the logo thing again?
Hell no.
Damn, and I've been making logos up for all year long.
Well, that's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Just give them all to Dana.
No, just give them to random people at work.
Yeah, she wants a free logo?
Yeah, exactly. I need a logo for my landscaping business. How about this? Of a strange
like the Johnny Appleseed of logos.
No, Rox, you can call yourself a personal branding consultant. If you wear a suit
really
and carry them in
idea.
A case, they'd give you money.
Yeah,
no,
see,
that's a really bad idea because then it'll be nothing but the smell of seared flesh.
So, Hooniverse, when is that? Is that Saturday?
I want to know how we got from seared flesh to Hooniverse, but anyway.
I think it makes perfect sense.
You're doing that one again?
Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Now, are there
does this have something to do with the shards of Jack Harkness?
I hope so.
It's a Jack, yes.
There's no who guests this year at the con, are there?
Yeah, they got,
they get some kind of Torchwood. Oh, sorry, yeah, they did get a Torchwood reject.
Yeah, they did,
yeah. Well, I think he's awesome, and he was a wonderful guest last year. What he's do you mean? Very charming.
So he was wonderful as a person, but as a character on a show? Shit.
Yeah.
I liked Yonto. He was so sweet. He was sweet, adorable.
They were all as ignorant as possibly could be on that show. There's not a single competent character on that entire fucking show.
Ken, show up at the.
He had a tragic past.
What do you mean? The past where he was heterosexual and madly in love with his.
I think someone's ending up in the starving room.
Kim, he didn't have a tragic past, other than the girlfriend that became a.
He had a muddled, poorly conceived, never.
It was a very muddled past. His past was crap.
That was continually
the Hooniverse paddle.
But he looked really sad about it.
Yes, joined us for the Hooniverse paddle.
I think he was
Saturday.
Sad because, as a British jobbing actor, he was losing a job. That was the only sorrow that you saw in that face.
Yeah, definitely somebody's ending up in the starving room.
What the hell are you talking about?
No
Your
one
sim
knows.
Character.
Just ignore it and move on. What do we got after Who?
I was trying to do a promo there for that. Thanks, folks.
So the Who panel you said is on Saturday. Well, have fun. I'm not going to be at that one either.
Damn.
I hope Yanto's there with you, though.
That would make it interesting.
So you can all pretend in front of him that you like Torchwood.
And I can let it be true.
Maybe you can.
No, wait. That's why Kim is on the panel. So
yeah.
I like that show.
Why?
Because I just do.
She likes the sex in it. That's all.
What about it? It makes no sense. It is poorly scripted. It is almost as bad as Bad Joss Whedon.
It is a bright, shiny,
there's no such thing.
Smushy, cute.
Piece of shit.
Kim, I wouldn't say it was cute.
It's not even a fun show to watch. It is aggravating. You sit there going, do you not even read your own fucking scripts?
You just have to kind of let it wash over you in a bright, shiny, sparkly melange of science-y stuff.
All I see is you standing in front of a massive sewer pipe taking it all in.
Someone's going to end up in the pool without a ladder.
Exactly.
Ken, you're not getting
that. Maybe I won't upgrade your computer after all. Maybe you can just keep
the cheese
computer.
He doesn't care. Kim, he doesn't care. Just leave it alone.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Remember, he has no soul.
Wait, just as long as he can get to the Torchwood forums. I love you, Jack.
Oh
so, recommendations
yes.
sometime tonight.
Don't worry, Kim. Kim, you can cheer on all those Yanto lifers attending the panel.
We can commiserate with each other.
Yanto lifers is a horrible name for a band.
Bring him back along with some writers. Bring him back along with some writers.
Wedge.
Yes,
definitely. Yanto Shihad, band name.
Okay, done.
You know, that sounds kind of like a World of Warcraft character.
It will be now, won't it? You know.
Oh my god. Alright, fine. Recommendations.
It's just a shit show, Kim. I'm sorry. I appreciate that you like it.
Dragon Con 2009. It'll be fun. Bring the kids.
Oh god. Yeah, if you wanted to learn some interesting
swear words.
Just
not to any of our panels, please.
Not to any of our panels, but please.
We like the curse.
No, it'd be great.
Really
see this great sea of humanity coming to drown Ken.
It's really cute when they dress up the kids as, like, themed costume.
Yes,
people
like,
love Ken, though.
As, like, naked Jack Harkness.
Why?
What?
What?
No.
Why? I don't know.
What?
No,
I meant at Dragon Con in general, when the families come as themes in their costumes. It's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so much therapy in the making.
And you can see the look in some of the wives' eye going, oh, you owe me big. For dressing up like that.
I think you see that eye mostly in the eye of the husband more than the wife at Dragon Con.
No, the ones that have to dress up with as the family thing, yeah.
It's like I don't ever think that's the guy's idea.
Really? No.
I think the family theme thing usually doesn't come from the guy's side of it. Really? He'll willingly go in dressed himself and not care if anyone else is.
No. Oh, no. I will disagree because I was at a convention at MegaCon and there was this family dressed as the Mario family. The kids hated they're like, Dad, can we? No, you can't take that off. He was dressed as Mario. The worst Mario outfit I have ever seen.
Was she dressed as Luigi?
Yes. No, he had a brother that was dressed as Luigi. She was actually dressed as Princess Peach or whatever. But the kids were like dressed as mushrooms and whatnot.
Oh, how cute!
Oh no, oh. the kids wanted to die. Oh. The wife, I think she went somewhere else. And there's this husband.
How old are these kids?
Mike, I think you see what your family is going to be like in the future.
Old enough to go.
We already know where Kim stands on it.
Wait, like 5, 10? Give me something.
8, 9.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
No.
Okay, that is a little...
And the dad was fucking through. I'm Luigi. I'm Mario. Oh, my God. It was just hilarious.
So he was even confused about his own costume.
Well, they were two brothers, and then there was the wife.
And they were both the father.
Yeah.
I did see a really cute family that was dressed up as the Scooby-Doo characters, and they had a little baby that was dressed up as Scooby-Doo.
That baby should have been Scrappy. Don't they know anything about size comparison charts?
Have you gone to Dragon Con and seen some of those people? Those people know nothing about size.
I think the baby had a little toy Scrappy with him.
Well, Doc, it's this amazing science fiction and fantasy convention. Always on Labor Day weekend, and some people even dress up in costumes. You should go.
I just have a policy of not letting stupid questions go by unanswered.
It's like, as Ken told me one time, there are no stupid questions, just stupid questioners.
Yeah.
It's a lot of inquisitive idiots.
Yeah. Asking the same thing.
You got any more questions, Scott?
I have a question.
Yes.
How about recommendations?
Oh, that was not a transition.
Thank God.
I think Doc should be first.
We're on
Doc
cue.
First. Doc, what have you got for us?
Well, I think people should go read all the Hugo nominees. And beyond that, I think on the game front, we've got the new Batman title out in a couple of weeks. But it's pretty much a wasteland except for the latest iteration, Madden, so nothing to go running to the game store.
Well, you can get the download, the demo of Batman.
Yes, it's quite good.
Yeah.
A little short, but...
co-worker got it, and he liked it, so... And I went, oh, okay, that's good. Are you going to buy the game? Oh, yeah, he's going to get the one with the Batarang.
I did not go that far.
Oh.
Now, did you get the one that has the Joker unlockable? Is that the Best Buy one? Or
I think that was on the PS3 only.
But is it PS3 only through Best Buy? Is it a retailer exclusive to the PS3 or just PS3 in general?
I think it's just
PS3, PS3 in general. You can get it at GameStop.
Now, is that the one you're going for, or do you have an Xbox?
I have an Xbox, and I'm going for the...
Out of curiosity, how many Xboxes have you had from that one purchase?
Two. Not too bad, I guess.
Yes, it's not the national average.
Well, you know, I had a conversation with someone about this the other day. People don't seem to remember how abysmally bad... the hardware issues were with Sony's previous console, and they talk about the 360 being this like new standard for hardware failure. I've had my 360 or had a 360 now as long as I owned a PS2, and I've replaced it 3 fewer times. Also, I've never had to crack it open on a bi-weekly basis to do maintenance on it. So
yeah, but that's the PS2. I would say the PS3 has been very solid.
PS3's been very solid. It ought to be for the money.
No, I would agree with that. But you also get, you know, Blu-ray player in addition to.
And I, yeah, I tried to care. But
there are
I
no
can't.
Games for it.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point, I don't need any more discs to watch movies. If I want to watch something in high def, I'll just stream it from Netflix.
Netflix.
I love that feature.
Yes, something that the Xbox can do that, as of yet, nothing else can.
All right.
Love that.
Boy, I love the sign and the sound of just shuffling papers.
Right. It's when we pretend we're newscasters.
Here's Tom with the weather. All right, Tuffley, what have you got?
Well, on that note, I will mention that there is an Xbox Live update that went out today, in fact, that has the Netflix update on it, which, yay. And that allows you to actually add things to your queue from the Xbox, which is amazing. Not as robust as I'd like the feature to be, so I hope they add to that. I hope they add a search function to it. But otherwise, they also have a... there was also the content update for Burnout Paradise that's called Big Surf City, which was... Big Surf Island, I'm sorry, which was very nice, very fun to play with. Large new area, get a couple of new cars, very nice there. And I've also got... it's a direct download.
Well, and they've added that feature. They've got games on demand, 360 titles available for download too.
Mm-hmm. And I also want to add the history of the DC Universe figure line in, and it's based on the old post-crisis book. And there are a couple of figures. Series one's out now. Series two comes out in September.
Now, are these the 3 3/4 inch ones?
I believe so.
Yeah, the one that generally, what, two packs as well as the individuals?
Yeah, I think so. I've only seen the individuals, but I know they're available in two packs.
Yeah, I know Toys R Us has two packs as well as some Versus packs as well.
Yeah, but they are
and some sets like, you know, the, I think, someone fighting all the Luthor suits and things.
Yeah, and it's based on the Perez art from the book.
Sort of.
Sort of, but they're really nice, and I'm not really a DC guy, but there are a couple of characters I really wanted, and they looked really nice in the series. So,
speaking of which, did you pick up the large scale Blue Beetle figure that came out?
No, I haven't.
Toys R Us just got them in the latest wave. You might want to pick it up. It's actually quite good.
Okay.
I haven't been able to find the classic Booster Gold yet, but it's nice to be reminded of when comics were fun.
Yeah, I think isn't the Booster Gold one in Series 2? I don't think Series 2 is out yet.
No, it's the same series as Blue Beetle.
Okay.
They have the variant, which is the modern one, and they also have the classic with the flared collar in that.
Ooh, okay, cool. And the last thing I want to throw out is an album. It's actually a reissue. It's already out in the UK. It's not out here yet, but it's the 20th anniversary reissue of the first Stone Roses album. Which is very nice.
You know, the box set's coming out as well, right?
Yeah, the box set is coming out as well. I believe that's also out in the UK already.
It's a September release, I think, from Sony Legacy.
Yeah, but it's really nice. The remaster is actually pretty good, because if you have the original version of the album, the remaster is it makes the audio sound a little bit better, but there's like a whole truckload of extra bonus material on it, which... looked really nice, so I'll throw that in as well.
Speaking of which, what do you think of the new Noisettes album?
I have not had a chance to hear that yet.
I'm going to recommend it. It's pretty good.
Okay.
It's like Duffy with songwriting ability.
I will definitely check that out.
Which?
All right. So, Sam?
What? Dude is having a lovely conversation. I just want to make sure you knew that we were both done.
Oh, yeah, you've been overdone for a while now. Kim, what have you got?
I would like to recommend a book called Touchstone by Laurie R. King. This is the same person who wrote the Mary Russell series of mystery novels and the Kate Martinelli series of mystery novels. This book is a standalone that's not part of either series. It's set in Great Britain in between the two world wars, and it's a very good kind of espionage slash crime thriller that I enjoyed quite a lot. So if you like the sort of golden age British mystery slash thriller genre, and if you liked any of her previous stuff, I would definitely suggest you pick it up.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. Rox, what have you got?
I have Gregory Gibson's Hubert Freaks, the rare book dealer, Times Square talker, and the lost photos of Deanne Arbus. For those who want to play along on Wikipedia, Deanne Arbus was a preeminent photographer during the 60s, 50s and 60s. Most of her stuff, she had a commercial side, and she also had a more artistic side that she had a show at the Guggenheim, which featured a lot of freaks and curiosities from Hubert's museum and curiosity cabinet in New York.
The Andy Leibovitz of her day.
Yes, yes. There was also a movie, Fur, with Nicole Kidman, but that was sort of they called it an imaginary biography of hers. But anyway.
Which means no money was exchanged.
That's right. Yes. But her photography is amazing. The book is really interesting. There's several people, such as Ricky J, read it. It's a novel, but yet the amount of research that Gibson put into it is pretty amazing. Getting information from the Guggenheim, the estate of Deanne Arbus. But it's kind of a really neat sort of find on that. Some of her other stuff, I love her as a photographer. You can find some of her works on, there's like a Jewish museum website that I found. Oh, the Jewish Virtual Library has a really good bio on her and several photos. Anyway, that's
out of curiosity, how old do you think she was when she started making people call her Deanne instead of Diane?
I think it was early. I think that's a New York thing because she grew up in the Upper West Side.
I think it's probably a pretentious thing.
Yeah, well, her family had money. The mom was from they owned a fur company or a fur store. And then her dad helped the family store become a department store. So there was money there. Her husband, oddly enough, Alan Arbus, was, after they divorced, moved to California, became an actor, and he was in MASH. He played the psychiatrist that would show up every once in a while.
With the frizzy hair and mustache.
Yeah, yeah. But she's...
Freeman, Sidney Freeman.
Yes, yes. But she started
the
out...
The one who diagnosed Hawkeye's pretension at the end of the series.
Yes, yes. Anyway, she's pretty much well-known for her kind of freak study. But the book is really a cool combination of finding sort of hidden or lost photos that sort of emerged and stuff. And there's some photos in it of sideshow stuff. I love sideshow stuff. Anyway, it's Hubert's Freaks. So pick that up. And look up Deanne Arbus. Don't forget her. Because she committed suicide around 1970 when she was like 48.
You'll find her under Deanne Arbus.
Yeah, that's how she spells it, Deanne Arbus, but they pronounce it Deanne. So, anyway. And see Fur. That was a good movie. I'm done.
Okay.
Thanks, that's like everyone has to tag out.
We're done. Tag. You're it. All right, Scott, what have you got?
I found a rather interesting book. It's called The Age of Wonder. And it's a write-up of the Romantic period and the scientific discoveries that happened in there. A lot of people portray the Romantic period after the Enlightenment as all about, you know, emotion and, you know, and sort of the rejection of the scientific method of the of the Enlightenment. But there was a lot of stuff that went on.
Also the start of the Industrial Revolution.
We gotta remember that it was in the Romantic period that Frankenstein was written, like one of the seminal treatises on the dangers of like scientific discovery. But there was also other things, like one of the things
William Blake.
Yes. No, yeah, and also ballooning was seen as both. I mean, people paid to see the balloon on stage. Didn't pay to see it like go up or anything. They were that fascinated by it that they were just paid just to see the thing. And of course, the dangers were that most people crashed their balloons because they didn't quite understand the principles behind it. So it really shows, you know. One of the things that the author really tries to convey is like the sense of like he calls it wonder that scientific discovery had at that period. You know, it wasn't just about finding something to make a commercial product out of or just to prove some, you know, dry fact. It was, you know, wanting to see how far you could go. And it sounds really interesting.
Does it deal with the artist Hogarth?
I do not believe so.
Because he did etchings and stuff during that time, and he sort of showed what the romanticism. He sort of showed the underbelly of what romanticism was.
Oh yeah, no, but they don't talk about it in this. But yeah, I'm familiar with who you're talking about.
Okay.
One of the jokes that
look that up, Hogarth on Wikipedia.
Yeah,
is it romantic underbelly? A new Panic at the Disco album?
Oh God, I hope not. No, but one of the things they talk about is one of the discoveries they made was nitric oxide, and how they were experimenting with it. And one of the people that helped them experiments was Roget, the guy who wrote the thesaurus. And after he did a hit of nitric oxide, he actually found himself at a loss for words to describe the sensation. So it's like, I have no words for this. Hey, that's what happened. So,
right.
I know. I was just hoping you'd sell it a little better.
He did a good job.
That's a big moment.
I know.
That was a big joke. Could you pace it better?
So anyway, John,
as he took a hit, Roget, the man behind the thesaurus, was at a loss for words.
John, have you got anything for us?
At the beginning of this, I did not. However, I went over to quickstopentertainment.com, and I happened to...
Why?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Damn.
Kissing anybody's ass or anything, are you?
No, I'm not. One of the ads actually...
You didn't say you went to needcoffee.com.
One of the ads actually caught my eye, and it's this from Sideshow Collectibles, Carl Fredrickson. They're putting out a nice little, I don't know, what do you call those? Vinyl collectible, I guess is what
maquettes.
They have.
Maquettes?
Maquettes.
The VCDs, is it Metacom that's putting it out?
Hot Toys, it looks like.
Yeah, it's a Japanese VCD.
Yeah, it looks very cool. It's actually inexpensively priced, actually $65. So I'm thinking of getting one. Also, the same that led me down to the little Carl and Fredrickson Cosbaby set, which is new to me. I've never seen these before, but
yes, they're rather freakish, aren't they?
They are rather freakish.
It's exactly what you would think the Japanese pop culture collectible market would produce.
Yeah, and they have a DC line, I think. Is that what you're talking about?
Do they have a DC line as well?
They have a Batman line.
Go look
at
the other
Batman line.
They also have movie characters. They have Alien, they have Predator, but in Cosbaby style. It's very disturbing.
Oh my god.
They have
god.
Like little cheapy queens. It's weird.
Jack Sparrow. In fact, I think we're going to be giving away quite a few Pirates of the Caribbean Cons Babies from via Sideshow Collectibles at the Film Fest this year.
At the Film Fest, kids!
The Film Fest is awesome. I won my husband there one time.
That's because I made sure he was in stock.
So who threw him out?
He does do SCA, Ken. He could have thought you were talking about in stocks.
Here, Kim, catch.
Who yeah. hasn't won anything thankful. Yet? We've got this guy and some books on tape.
Yeah. I don't want
it's
no book
tough
on tape.
Or marrying Mariette. What's their the Olsen twins hit Manhattan?
This one comes with a hat accessory.
New York Minute, Scott.
Oh my God! I am looking at these cosplays.
What are all the crap prizes we gave you over the years, Rox?
New York Minute. It's in
here. It was the Rox Memorial Prize every year.
Yeah. Participation in We Get Justice.
You realize that's still your payment for everything you do for Need Coffee, right?
Yeah, I know it is.
Good Lord. I'm looking at these Cos Babies and damn.
They are a bit disturbing.
Shit.
They are a bit disturbing.
Have you seen this? Are you looking at the Joker one? That is just strange.
Yeah.
Wait, what section of the site are those on?
No, I just looked up and.
Oh.
Just Google it, Kim.
Okay.
Anyway, so the.
Kim, those are the ones I was showing you in Titan the other day.
The Davy Jones.
You know, the ones that he was winking and nudging at for Christmas?
So, what
no,
are you going to say?
Honey, I would love a Cos Baby.
don't misinterpret that.
Wants lots of pudding?
I love a Cos Baby.
Baby.
Pudding pops.
I almost repeated the same joke which you did. I almost did it. Check out the car.
Bill Cosby's IVF pudding pops. You're going to have a baby.
I bought one of those, but it was a different kind of store. Carl.
Oh. I think I know that store.
So the Carl and Russell vinyl collectible thingies, they're really cool. Check them out. I'm
despite
done with.
We just said about
get,
them.
I didn't even get my "there's pudding in the oven" line in.
It's probably for the best.
Is it warm pudding?
No, it's grated Simone.
Is it sticky?
That would make it custard.
Oh, Lord.
Quick, John, tag out or it will never end.
I'm done.
All right, Ken, what have you got for us?
I would like to recommend people go and place a pre-order for the Peter Serafinowicz show via Amazon.co.uk. It's a very funny show. Hopefully everyone has a region-free player. Channel 4 was sort of dicking Peter around when it came to getting a release date for the DVD set. So he requested via Twitter that everyone head over and do a pre-order and put a review if you like the show to sort of force Channel 4's hand and say, look, there is an audience for this. And there's been a tremendous response, but always more the better. So head over there and also follow him on Twitter at Serafinowicz, Serafinoccz.
Ken, I was going to ask.
Which
I
are you spelling that along with
me? Hang on. Serafinoccz.
We might want to put that in the show notes.
Yeah, we might.
Yeah.
Hey, Ken, real quick, I was going to ask you, have you been keeping up with this thing about the argument about QI?
Which argument about QI?
This story that's been running about the Hodgman's little thing about that.
Yeah, you could say we've been keeping up with that.
Yeah. You might say we're familiar with the situation.
Did you get my latest thing, Widge?
Considering that Widge shot that video.
Yeah.
And that we set it up for a plan that I originally had with John Lloyd about celebrity endorsements and shaming a BBC America for their position, which is accurate on the show.
Well,
Well, I made a statement about that, didn't he?
What'd you say?
No, Widge, you got that leg, right?
Yes, I did.
We're fully aware of what was said by John Lloyd, the producer of QI, clarification and adding some insight, context on the TV Squad article. No, that's legitimately Garth Ancier's position at BBC America's, that the American audience is not bright enough to get QI.
Well, considering what's going on lately, can you blame them?
Obviously, yes.
I don't know. I want to see more gardens get refurbished. If I can get a water feature and not have to learn anything, I am fine with that. Why laugh when you can have a water feature?
Mm-hmm.
I would like
a water feature.
Kim, you have a water feature. It's called Scott, and he pisses in your yard.
And you didn't even have to install him.
No. He sent him one of the ones with little fishes in it.
Just have to put up with all
that might be a bit difficult.
He's trying.
Or how clean is your house? I hate, you know.
Or shit in the attic.
Yeah.
Oh. Honey, I thought you ordered the cost babies. I'm sorry. It's just.
Oh, it's BBC America's a joke.
Ken, I hate to point this out.
They don't have to be.
The thing is there's reporters on the world news that have, you know, they're constantly making fun of us. Constantly. During the election, there were several.
Us Week in Justice?
No, just the American people in general.
Oh. Hey, Ken, I just would like to point out that.
Legitimately, granted.
Ken, yeah. I would like to point out that shit in the attic is going to be the basic gist of the next Scott C. Sim update from Kim for next week.
I don't even think he'd want to go up in the attic. He'll probably do it right in the living room. All we'll see is a screen grab.
Is that like a VC Andrews?
Kim will send us this. Kim will send us this screen grab of her and Tuffley on the couch with Scott standing on the cushion beside them, taking a shit with rocks in the background, thinking of a roll of toilet paper.
Oh, that's not right.
Tag out, Ken. Quickly.
And it's every week.
I tag back to Doc. Hi, didn't see that coming, did you?
And I'm done, so hey.
Hey, all right. So my recommendation is streaming this week.
Oh, we have to get you to go?
Yes. Is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Blu-ray 25th Anniversary Collector's Edition. And primarily the reason for this is because, as Ken and I have discussed, the insane packaging, it comes in a pizza box. The Blu-ray discs look like pizzas. And if you're a fan of the series, it comes with a beanie and a comic book and character cards and a signed sketch as well. And
it comes with Eastman and Laird's original adaptation of the first film.
Yes.
Why don't they just say, take this off our hands? I mean, they're giving away so much crap for that.
Actually,
was it any good?
It is the Take This Off Our Hands edition.
Yeah. Yes, it is. But as Ken pointed out, because I hadn't seen it because of the thing on the back, there is actually a stain on the back from where the pizza would have been sitting. So,
yes, a company in these depressed economic times made sure that the pizza box packaging for their anniversary set had a synthetic stain on it.
There you go.
That's crafted.
Attention to detail is important.
Isn't it?
Yeah, especially when it's OCD.
Just think, a kid in a small town died because of that.
Really? That's cool.
But it's great packaging.
To bring you great DVD packaging.
Blu-ray.
Yes, a fabulous package.
Would you like a cure for cancer, or would you like a beanie?
Well, it depends. What color's the beanie?
Beanie or death.
I didn't bring down your recommendation, did I, Witch?
I'm sorry.
No.
But it is very nice packaging. I the quality of the films is something else entirely. But although I would say that the animated film, the most recent one, was a hell of a lot better than I expected it to be. That TMNT CG film.
So this is the television series that you were recommending.
No, no, it's actually it's a collection of the four films, the three live action and the recent.
Oh, well, no wonder the packaging's so great. It has to be.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Although the most recent 25th anniversary edition of the season 7 of the animated series each came with an action figure.
Yeah. See, that's what I was asking.
Yeah, they had a different way of celebrating.
So there you have it. All right, I tagged out. Oh, I'm done. I tagged myself so I can say it's time for us to say goodbye.
So long, farewell. Really. We'll see you next week.
Oh, Jesus.
Now because it's time you demanded to say goodbye.
Yeah, who are these people? Seriously.
Seriously, I'm not going to tell you.
When you're listening to this, I want Twitter.
W-E-E.
Scott wants your email.
A-E-E-N-D.
No, not an email. Twitter. Like, Twitter us and say,
J-U-S-T-I-C.
God knows why.
Well, Scott, what's your Twitter account name? Let them know.
Weekend Justice.
Weekend Justice.
Weekend Justice.
Weekend Justice.
Listeners,
ever let us rake Scott Cross the
Coals. Coals, 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 Coals.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Have a great weekend.
So bye now.
Everyone go out and kill a sim.
Y'all come back next week.
Are they gone yet?
Yeah, I think so.
Should be.
Okay.
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
This is Widget Walls of NeedCoffee.com. You've been listening to a NeedCoffee.com podcast of Weekend Justice. If you enjoyed Weekend Justice and would like to hear more, here's how you can make that happen. Please do one, or even better, all of the following. Number one, tell a friend about us. Number two, go to iTunes and write a review of NeedCoffee.com podcasts. Or number three, become a member of NeedCoffee.com. Our goal is to become the world's first 100% reader-supported website named NeedCoffee.com. For more information, please go to NeedCoffee.com/membership. Thanks for listening, and here's Dakota.
I willfully do not understand anything any of you just said.